Let's read the Word of God this morning, folks. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let them that now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of His precious and of His eternal word. We're looking at the 118th Psalm this morning. It's a song. All the Psalms are songs. I've remarked several times that I think it will be so interesting when we get where we're going that we can hear David sing the 23rd Psalm in its original music. I've seen the 23rd Psalm set to music, most of the time classical music, most of the time something that would bore this congregation to death, to tell you the truth. But I wonder, playing his harp on a hillside overlooking the sheep, standing in the temple or the tabernacle it would have been in his time, and rejoicing in the Lord with string musics on harps, you have to wonder what it sounded like. Well, I had another thought. We don't know a lot about what Jesus said other than the words that are recorded in the Bible. We don't never see Him laugh, although I'm convinced He did. We don't see Him be lightheaded, hearted, and although I'm convinced He was, because He was a human being. But we do see Him on one instance singing. He and the disciples sang a hymn together. It was the last song that He sang before He went away. He sang the song, and then He started for Gethsemane and Calvary. And as He left, all the words of that song had to be ringing in their ears because they all sang it together. You say, oh, if I only knew what that song was. Well, actually, you do know. It was the 118th Psalm. Because you see, they had just had Passover. And Passover always ended by the family and all those who were gathered there singing the 118th Psalm. It was the last of the Hallel songs or the Hallelujah Psalms that start out with praise the Lord. And so as they left with those words and the sound of those words on their ears and in their hearts. And as Jesus went to Gethsemane and Calvary, He went with the words of those songs ringing in His ears, the smell of the incense that and myrrh that Mary Magdalene had put on His head, coming down through His beard and His face. He would have smelled that. He would have heard the wails of the people along the streets of Jerusalem. He would have heard the cursing of the soldiers. He would have heard the blasphemy of Pilate and of Herod, but in his heart and in his soul, the Lord would have heard the voices of Peter and James and John lifted up in praise to God. And they would have been singing, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And then the thought struck me, you know that song that's so popular now at funerals and other places, Go Rest High on the Mountain? And there's a verse in it that talks about when the angels hear your sweet voice sing. And it all at once dawned on me, wonder what the Lord sounded like when he sang. Did he sing bass, baritone, tenor? I don't know. Won't it be wonderful to hear the voice of Jesus? And then I thought, does he sing in heaven? Now, heaven will be full of singing. Heaven, and you say, wonder what they're going to sing. Well, they're going to sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. It says so. And what was the song of Moses? Well, it was the song of sweet deliverance. Go back to Exodus. And when they came out of Egypt and they went through the sea and the seas came back and crashed over Pharaoh and his chariots, Moses, if you think you're too old to rejoice in the Lord, I want you to hear this. Moses, who is 80 years old, took a tambourine, and his sister, who is 91 years old, took a tambourine. She led the women and he led the men, and they danced on the banks of sweet deliverance. When the armies of Egypt were under the water and the floating of the armaments came to the top and the victory was won, they began to dance and shout and praise God. In their 80s and 90s, they were leading all of those people in praise to God. I know we're going to sing the song of Moses when we get to heaven, it says so. And the song of the Lamb. And the song of the Lamb is not unlike the song of Moses, because the song of the Lamb is a song of deliverance. And we're going to sing, not are you washed in the blood, but we're going to sing, I've been washed in the blood. And we're going to sing, not I will be changed, but I have been changed. And we will sing the praises of the Lamb. My question is, will the Lamb sing? I mean, all of the peoples of the earth, wonder what language that'll be in. That'll be something to hear, won't it? People from every continent and every age and every segment of society will be praising God and glorifying Him with songs and music. What a day that will be. Oh, hallelujah. Won't that be something to go see and something to hear? But I wonder, among all of that, when they sing praise, will I hear the voice of Jesus singing? Well, they heard it that night. They heard Jesus singing. I call this a sandwich psalm. And you say, why would you call it that? Because a sandwich has like two pieces of bread and all the goody is in the middle. And the 118th psalm has all the goody in the middle. First of all, it is preceded by the shortest psalm that there is. Psalm 117 only has two verses. But then it is followed by Psalm 119 that has 176 verses. Longest chapter in the Bible, longest psalm in the Bible. So we have the 118th psalm between the shortest and the longest psalm. And it's there for all the people. Every time they went to Passover and every time they finished that last meal and got up to go home, they sang the 118th psalm. And the other reason I call it a sandwich psalm is because the first verse and the last verse are identical. Psalm 118 begins by saying, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And it ends by saying the same thing. Now, I like this psalm for lots of reasons, just because it's in the Bible to start with. But I can, and that makes it the Word of God. How many of you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Modernists don't believe that. They think it might contain good thoughts and good philosophy. I want you to know this Bible is not about philosophy. It's God speaking to us, and we have to take the Holy Scriptures at their face value and rejoice in the Lord. So we're talking about something that's forever. I think about God, we talk about God, and sometimes I hear people, fact is, this thing of, oh my God, has caught on everywhere. It's everybody wants to be saying that. Be careful when you say that, folks. Be careful that you mean what you're saying. Be careful you know who you're talking about and who you're talking to, because you're talking about the Almighty God. Think about that word, Almighty. That means that He has all the power. There's no power greater than His power. We're talking about something that's forever. We're talking about Him being the superpower of all ages and all times and all places. My brothers and sisters, the wonderful thing is we're talking about His mercies. We're talking about His mercies. Wouldn't it be an awful thing if the Almighty God was not good? Remember what we used to say? You know, when I started school, I started down at Naris. Lucille, I was actually a Green Wave. And a Red Devil and a Spartan. I tried them all. You say, what are you talking about? Well, here's what I'm talking about. When we went to lunch, when I was in the first grade, we could say the blessing. In fact, is that I went to lunch, when I started school, everybody in the school bowed their heads, the teachers, the principal, and everybody, and we prayed, God is great, and God is good. And we thank Him for this food. By His hands we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Oh, my friend, there's nothing wrong with that. Oh, that our country, what depths we have stooped to think there's something wrong with children saying, thank you, God, for your food. What depths we have stooped to when we cannot acknowledge the Almighty God in everything. My friend, we're talking about something that's forever. His mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. You know what that means? That means that tomorrow, when I wake up, it's still going to be all right. Amen. I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and find out that God's made a different covenant. I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and find out that things have changed. I'm not going to find out that God has made a treaty with the devil somewhere that I don't know about, and He's decided that all Kindles are going to hell. I'm not going to find that out. Guess what? When I wake up in the morning and get up, Jesus Christ will still have hung on the cross. He still will have laid in the tomb. He still will have resurrected on the third day. He still has ascended into heaven and is standing at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And He still is promising to come back and to receive us unto Himself. Glory to God. And to receive us unto Himself. The promise is still ours. Nothing has changed. I don't have to worry about it in the morning when I wake up that God's going to get out a great big scroll and roll it out and say, well, I forgive you your sins back in 1960-something. Here, when was it? Oh, yeah, 1961. I forgive you your sins and put them down. But you ain't amounted to much, so I'm just going to strike that out and you can go on to hell anyway. Let me tell you something. God will never change His mind about me. God will never change His mind about you. God sent His Spirit to save your soul. And my friend, the devil's not big enough to take you out of His hand. The devil's not big enough to take you away from Him. The devil's not smart enough to get you away from Him. God Almighty, my friend, looks down into your heart and He purposed to save you, and that's why Jesus went to Calvary. And so when I look at that and I look down through the 118th Psalm and I look at what he's talking about His mercy. God's mercy is good for, the contracts for 20 years. Don't you hate that about insurance? You buy insurance and you think you bought life insurance that lasts forever. And then when you get down and read the fine print, you find out that there's a certain time in your life you got too old for it. Well, it's true. And I've seen people get so disappointed. I felt so sorry for Rodney Free. He wouldn't mind me telling this. for Rodney Freeman's mother. Rodney's brother died several years ago, and she had insurance on him. And she thought she was in good shape, but she found out that the insurance she had bought was in case he was in an accident. And what a difference that makes, my friend, because if you're not in an accident, it don't pay anything. They just got all your money and walked off with it. Well, I don't have to worry about finding out that there's some fine print in the contract of Calvary. I don't have to worry about in the morning finding out that there was a clause in there that I didn't read and didn't know about. Let me tell you what, my sins are gone. You see, but you haven't been perfect. Not even close. Not even close. But the sacrifice that was made for my sins is perfect and will not change. It is settled in heaven forever. And he said, well, why are they praising God? They're praising God because his mercies are forever. They endure forever. And what else? Verse 5, he heard my prayers. How many of you have ever had a prayer answered? Amen. You know, it's amazing to me. At any one moment, how many people might be praying? I have no idea. Have no idea how many people right at this moment are praying. People are praying in English and in Russian and in Swahili. People are praying loud and people are praying quiet and silent. People are praying in all kinds of ways. And you know what? God, you don't have to worry about overloading his wagon. You don't have to worry about it. You won't do it. All the Methodist preacher said to me one day, bless his heart. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. He said, I don't know how you people over there think God can understand you. And I said, what are you talking about, Jim? He said, well, all you old Pentecostals get over there and you get out and you pray out loud and all together at one time. Said, how in the world does God ever understand what you're saying? I said, Jim, there are millions of people praying at any given moment all over this planet, and God is listening to every single one of them. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Why? His mercy is enduring forever. And what? And he heard my prayers, and he delivered me. And verse 6 says something wonderful. I just love that part from Romans chapter 8. And you know what it said? If the Lord be for us, who could be against us? What does Psalm 18 say? It said, the Lord is on my side. Wow, can you believe that? That God would be on my side. Now, I understand me being on God's side. Why wouldn't I be on God's side? He's the Almighty. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. Why wouldn't I be on his side? But why on earth would God want to be on my side? I am a sinner, lost and undone without God, and perishing down into the flames of hell if it had not been for him, and he came and pulled me out and save my soul, my friends. Listen to him. Listen to him. God, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good. His mercy endures forever. He listens to my prayer. He's on my side. And he makes me say, I shall not die, but I shall live. I shall not die, verse 17. I shall not die, but I shall live. My friend, we gain our faith to go on through him. And then you can tell, if you pay attention to Psalm 118, that is quoted in the New Testament, that when Jesus sang that hymn with them that night and went out to Gethsemane and Calvary, he had already sang about it. The stone that the builders have rejected has now become the head of the corner. Oh, my friend, as you look at all the things in this psalm that point to the time of the Lord would be here, you have to understand that the world refused him. Isn't that sad? God Almighty sent his only Son to live and to die in this sinful world for us, and we rejected him. We beat him. We crucified him. We put him down among the dead, and he descended into hell. Oh, my friends, Think about it. The stone was refused, but it becomes the head of the corner. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And then he says, for God is the Lord. God is the Lord. God's in charge, my friend. Ultimately, the plan of God will happen. Don't you worry one bit about it, Mr. Devil. Don't you worry one bit about it, Mr. United Nations or Mr. Congress or whoever you happen to be. Don't you worry about it at all. In the end, God Almighty will stand up and give the command, and Jesus Christ will walk across the universe and into the atmosphere of this earth, raise every single person that's ever lived from the dead. And you say, just the Christians. No, my friends. Every single human being that's ever lived is going to be resurrected and stand before the Almighty God. Every one of us. But the thing of it is, we ain't going in the same load. We're not going in the same crowd. You say, how come? Well, we're going to get a jump on them. Somebody said they was a Christian. They wanted to go up in the rapture. I said, don't worry about it. You will. You'll go up when the church is called away. You'll go away, dead or alive. You'll go away. But the wondrous and glorious thing is that since God is the Lord and has all the power in heaven and earth, verse 19 can take place. And you know what he says? He said, open the gates of righteousness that I may come in. Hallelujah. Oh, when Jesus comes, I just may be leaving in the morning when the trumpet of God shall sound. Won't that be something else? Won't that be wonderful? My friend, I don't want to miss it. I may miss the train. I may miss the plane. I may miss my Uber ride. I may miss lots of things. But I don't want to miss the catching away of the church of God out of this world. And he's coming. He's coming for his jewels. He's coming for his family. He's coming for those who love his appearing and who are hastening toward his appearing. How does the idea of Jesus coming this afternoon strike you? Could that be joy? Or would there be sorrow and pain? Oh, my friend, don't be left behind. Don't be left in this world while the rest of us are shouting through the air. I can't imagine what it will be to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Wouldn't that be something? Won't that be something? Because he has promised to do it. Well, I want you to say that last verse with me. We've talked about what's in the inside of Psalm 118. I want you to say that last verse with me. But it's the same as the first verse. And what is it? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Father, we come into your presence this morning with thankful hearts, grateful for the opportunity to share the word of God, grateful for the opportunity to know the power and the blessing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Father, we stand on uncertain ground in this world. We stand looking out across the horizon at things that are frightening, things that shake us up. But Father, we stand there looking at it, knowing that your mercy is for everlasting to everlasting, knowing that you are the mighty God that can take care of us, though even it is the end of the world. Be with us now, God. Sanctify us and draw us into your presence, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.